22 through 31. The scriptures are up on the screens behind me. If you don't have your Bible, you need a Bible, please see us. We'll make sure you have a Bible before you leave this place today. Amen. Acts, the 9th chapter, the 22nd verse. The word of the Lord says, "But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after the many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill Saul. Then the disciples took him by night. They let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. They believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took Saul, and he brought him to the apostles. And he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to Saul, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem, but he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." Verse 30 says, "When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea. They sent him forth to Tarsus." Verse 31 says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied." One more place of scripture, Acts, the 2nd chapter and the 17th verse. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Hallelujah. As I was preparing before the service today, I was going to preach in a different direction, but I felt an unction from the Holy Ghost. I feel an urgency in my spirit today. How many know the church is on a mission? How many know the church is on a mission today? If you're on a mission today, would you clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify His name today? The church is on a mission today. And the church must be empowered by the Holy Ghost to fulfill this mission for these last days. I feel directed by the Holy Ghost to preach on this topic today, the power of empowerment. The power of empowerment. Let's lay our Bibles down in our seats. Let's magnify the Lord for a few moments in a very sincere praise and worship. Come on, open up your hearts to the King today. Come on, thank Him for His presence today. Thank Him for your family today. Thank Him for His provision today. Thank Him for your church today. Thank Him for His goodness today. The Lord is good. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Come on, give Him praise all over this house today. He's a way maker. He's a way maker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power of empowerment. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today in the name of the Lord. Don't sit down on the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of empowerment. I remember very specifically, very plainly, how stressed out my beautiful bride was the days leading to that wonderful day that I was privileged to marry her. Almost 30 years ago, 27 years ago, and I still am the most thankful man that God has ever created. But I remember the stress of that day. I remember how it affected her. Not only was she stressed out, we were busted. How many know when you're busted, it makes being stressed out a whole lot worse? Man, here we are. We're trying to put this wedding together. And Brother Brad was my boss. And, man, he made me work the day of my wedding. Good Lord. I'm still praying for God to forgive him for that. He made me work the day of my wedding, man. You should have seen us. We're out here in this school in Brownsburg, and we're trying to put this flooring down. We're trying to hurry up so we can get back to my wedding. And along the way, I realized that I had forgotten to get roses. You remember that, Brother Brad? My Lord, what a stressful day. Stressed out and busted, amen, is not a good combination. Amen, but we were stressed out. It was a tough financial time. In fact, I added to her stress that day by working on our wedding day. She was worried about whether I was going to get back in time. What if traffic got backed up? What if this went wrong? What if that went wrong? And then I remember I was supposed to stop and get roses, and man, the stress just keeps compounding and compounding and compounding. Amen. We have survived the stress of that wedding. And now we have survived the stress of three more weddings. As we have married three of our daughters who nearly put me in the grave. But God is good. Amen. If I'm standing here today, I'm telling you God is good. Amen. We survived those weddings, and those folks that you see on TV stranded on that island, you think that was stress. You ain't seen nothing until you married three daughters. That's stress. You pay for three weddings trying to figure out a way you're going to come up with that. Brother Brad, that'll preach. He'll tell you. That'll preach. Amen. You know, what you've seen those folks stranded on that island, that ain't got nothing on the stress that we endure when we try to marry them daughters off. You know, since I came into the ministry, I've been involved in many weddings. I've preached many funerals. I've seen people at their highest. I've been with people at their lowest. I've seen people under unimaginable amounts of pressure, unimaginable amounts of stress, problem after problem. But somehow, Brother Bo, they always seem to get through it. When we're in the midst of that situation, we don't know how we're going to get through it, but with the help of God, we always look back and say, somehow the Lord brought us through it. Amen. I remember when we got that phone call about Brother Tommy and Sister Charlene's boy, man, the church went to praying. Everybody was wondering. We couldn't get no answers, and the stress just kept mounting and mounting and mounting. I said, man, what are we going to do? But now we look back, and I say, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to thank God for the miraculous. We're going to thank God for his provision. We're going to thank God for his goodness. We're going to thank God because he always makes a way where there seems to be no way. God is good today. Can you give him some praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the final days in preparation for any of life's most important events are always a time of increased activity and urgent activity and a lot of stress. You know, when it comes to big days, I remember just here recently, Brother David and Sister Lissy were trying to close on a house. And I remember that boy would come into that office and I could just see the stress on his face. Because those big moments in life, they put you under a lot of pressure. They put you under a lot of pressure. And you know, it's a time of increased activity and levels are high and pressure is high and stress is high. Let me tell you something today. The bridegroom is about to come back for his bride. Let me tell you something. The Lord is about to return to call his church home. And today we're living under more pressure than we've ever seen in all of our lives. And we're living in some messed up times. And we're living in times where people don't know what's up and people don't know what's down. And food lines are longer than they've ever been. And urgency is up. But can I tell you today, the Lord's going to soon come to return. And he's going to come and he's going to take his bride home to be with him. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to usher us up out of this place. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's going to get us ready to meet the Lord in those last days. The church needs to learn to press through today. The church needs to learn to hold on today. The church needs to fight like it's never fought today. Come on, I'm talking to people that are hurting today. Come on, I'm talking to people that's going through some stuff today. I'm talking to people that are struggling today. I'm talking to people that feel like they're losing their way with God today. I come to tell you it ain't time to throw in the towel. It ain't time to give up on the fight. It's time for you to press. I'm preaching through the facade today. I'm preaching through the pain today. I'm preaching through the temporary today. I'm preaching through the ordinary today, because we serve a supernatural God, and he's able to see you through it all. Come on. There's no pressure too great for our God. There's no amount of trouble too great for our God today. The church needs empowered for his mission today. The church is on a mission. This is not just another Sunday church. Come on, this is not just another Sunday today. This is not just another baby dedication today. This is not just another church service today. Come on, this is the day that the Lord has made. Somebody didn't hear what I said today. This is the day that the Lord has made today. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad that this is the day that the Lord has made. He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. And it's only by the mercy and by the grace of God that we're here today. Hallelujah. This isn't just another day. This is the day that's the difference in the mindset we was talking about this morning. This isn't just another day, Brother Carl. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to give him praise in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Church, listen to me today. The truth of the matter is we're never going to be good enough. We'll never be good enough. We'll never be strong enough. We're not strong enough to make it on our own today. We need the help of God. Come on, the truth is we'll never be spiritual enough. Come on, man that is born of a woman, the Bible says, is a few days and full of sorrow. Come on, we will never be good enough today. But with the help and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost in these last days, you can make it through anything that life has to throw your way today. I'm talking about the power of empowerment today. This is not just another day. This is not just another church. You are not just another saint. You're a child of God today. You're empowered with the Spirit of the living God. That's why when you get in those fiery, hot worship services, man, you can't just sit still. Huh? Your knees got to start bending a little bit. Your ankles got to start flexing. Your hands got to raise. Your mouth's got to open a little bit, because you feel the presence of the Almighty. He is empowering you for the mission in these last days. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're not strong enough. We're not spiritual enough. We're not great enough. Church, the truth of the matter is we're nothing without him. But through him, we can do all things. We're nothing without him, but it's him that gives us the power. It's him that gives us the strength. It's him that gives us the will and the fortitude and the know-how. It's him that gives us the wisdom. It's him that gives us the knowledge. It's him that gives us the strength to face tomorrow and all that tomorrow has to offer. Come on. Without him, we're nothing today, but through him, we can do all things. Thanks be to God today. We're not just born of a woman. We're not just, look, you're here today because of your mama, but you ain't just born of a woman. You're born of the water and of the Spirit. That means you got the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. That means nothing that life can throw at you. Come on, Brother Mike talked about it just a few moments ago. Who shall separate you from the love of God? What shall separate? Come on, what is great enough to pull you out of the Father? Nothing is great enough to pull you out of the Father's hands today. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. We ain't just born of a woman today. We're born again of the water and of the Spirit. The Lord is empowering the church for its mission in these last days. So the next time the devil comes telling you you ain't good enough, you remind that old devil, I know I ain't good enough, but he that's in me is more than enough. I know I ain't spiritual enough, but he that is in me is more than spiritual enough. I know I ain't strong enough. I know I can't make it on my own, but he that is within me, he's more than enough for me to face everything that I have to go through in this life. The next time that old devil comes sitting on your shoulder, you let him know you might not be good enough, but God is more than enough today. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise. Church, who shall ascend to the hill of the Most High? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord but he that hath clean hands and a pure heart? Come on, you just need to remind that old devil. Come on, Sister Michelle, the next time the devil comes telling you, oh, you got this, and the doctor said this, and the doctor said that, you just need to remind him you're bought with a price. You just need to remind him you're purchased by the blood. You just remind him you got a covering on your life. You just need to remind him, I'm a child of the King. Today's another day. This is not just another day. This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it today. Hallelujah. We just need to remind the devil that he that is within us is more than enough today. We're the church of the living God, and we are more than empowered enough to face what life brings our way. Come on. I'm not slighting what you're going through today. I'm not slighting what you're suffering with today. God bless your heart. I know there are people in this room that are fighting hell today. I know there are people in this church that it's taken everything they got just to hang on right now. But I come to tell you today, you are empowered from a power that only comes from on high today. You are not enough, but he that is within you is more than enough today. You just got to remind the devil who it is that you have on the inside of you today. Let me tell you something, it's not God's will today that any should perish. It was never God's will that you wouldn't make it today. It was never God's will that you wouldn't get through it today, but it's God's will that you make it and you're going to make it. It's God's will that you prosper and you're going to prosper. It's God's will that you get through it and you're going to get through it with the help of the Holy Ghost today. I'm talking about the power of the empowerment today. Let me tell you something. I know the church is going through some stuff in these last days. I know it ain't no joke today. I know that times are hard. Americans are having a hard time right now. But it ain't time to give up. It ain't time to give up. It's time to fight today. It's time to press toward the mark today. It's time to catch a second wind today. It's time to push through the pain today. It's time to buckle down today. It's time to get your war shoes on today. It's time to get your dancing shoes on today. It's time to get your praise and your worship out of the closet today. It's time to magnify the Lord today. That's what we got to do in these last days. We got to push through the pain. We got to push through the problems. Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem. He said there'll be a man there that's bearing a pitcher of water. Listen, it was at one of the lowest points in their lives. How many know the disciples? They were on cloud nine when the Lord came. He was walking with them. He was talking with them. He was teaching them. He was their rabbi. He spent day after day after day with them. But then at one of the lowest points in their lives, the Lord is taken away from them. And he tells them, he says, you go to Jerusalem. I know you're down in your spirit. Can I tell you today, the best thing for you to do when you're down in your spirit is to go to Jerusalem. My God, that made the hair on my neck stand up. I don't know about you all. The best thing you can do when you're down in your spirit is go to Jerusalem. Why? Because there's a man there who's bearing a pitcher of water. He's bearing a pitcher of water. And the Lord told his disciples, he said, you go to Jerusalem and there'll be a man there who's bearing a pitcher of water. It was one of the lowest points of their lives. The Lord had told his disciples, he's going to show you an upper room. He said, there in that upper room, all things are going to be furnished. They had just lost everything that mattered to them. The Lord had just been taken away from them. Everything that mattered to them, they had left everything. They walked away from everything. They gave up their jobs. They gave up their home. They gave up everything to follow Jesus. And here they are. He's taken away from them. And then the Lord appears to him. He says, you go to Jerusalem and there's going to be a man there and he's bearing a pitcher of water. He's going to take you to an upper room where all things are furnished. Their master had been taken away from them. The church was under attack. The people of God were scattering. Fear had consumed their lives. And in the midst of the greatest attack that hell had ever launched on the church, let me tell you something. I believe that all hell's a cell in this church. I believe there's nothing the enemy wants more than to see you fail. There's nothing more than the enemy wants to see your marriage destroyed. There's nothing more the enemy wants to see you lose your children, see you lose your job, see you sick in your body. There's nothing more the enemy wants than to see you fail today. I have no doubt that all hell is a cell in this church today. But let me tell you something. In the midst of the greatest attack that hell had ever launched on the church, they had just taken the Lord away from his disciples. He tells them, he appears to them and he tells them, he says, you go to Jerusalem, there's going to be an upper room and all things are going to be furnished in that upper room. They had just lost everything. The master was taken away. The church was under attack. Fear had gripped their hearts and their minds. And in the midst of the greatest attack that hell had ever launched, in their discouragement, in their uncertainty, in the midst of their inability to change their circumstances, Jesus says this to his disciples. He said, thus it is written, and thus it hath behooved Christ to suffer and to die. But don't be dismayed, because on the third day, my God, he said, I'm going to raise up out of that grave. Come on, and repentance and remission of sins is going to be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, there's going to be a church, and we're going to start a church, and I'm going to empower that church, and they're going to live for God, and my word's going to be in them, and they're going to be empowered for their mission. They're going to be empowered for their mission. He said, you're going to be witnesses of these things. He said, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, until what? Until you be endued with power from on high. I come to tell this body today, you can make it as long as you're empowered. You can make it. Nothing in this life can destroy you as long as you have the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life today. The first century church needed to be endued with power. Can I tell you that the 21st century church needs to be endued with power? The first century church needed the Holy Ghost, Brother Micah. The 21st century church needs the Holy Ghost today. Come on, the first century church needed their brothers and sisters in Christ. The 21st century church needs their brothers and their sisters in Christ today. We are empowered for our mission. After the Lord told them they were about to be empowered, he led them out of the city as far as he could go with them. The Bible says, then he departed from them. They started thinking about the words that Jesus had spoke to them. I started thinking about the promise of the Father. They started thinking about Jesus telling them they were about to receive power from on high. They started thinking about all these things that the Lord had said to them. So you know what they did? When he gave them a promise, the Bible says they started worshiping him. You know what you need to do when you're facing uncertainty? You need to worship him. You know what you need to do when you don't know what to do? You need to worship him. You know what you need to do when all hell assails you and you feel like everything's falling apart and you feel like you don't know how much longer you can hang on? You just need to worship him. You just need to give him praise. You just need to love him. You just need to trust him. You just need to put all your soul, your body, your heart, your mind, your strength in the Lord. And you need to trust him. In these last days, you need to worship him. Hallelujah. And I remind this church today, your praise still precedes your power. The Bible says great joy came over them. Great joy came over them. They started thinking about all the promises that Jesus had given them. They started worshiping him. They said, Lord, you gave us a promise. Go to Jerusalem. You're going to empower us. You're going to give us what we need. They just started worshiping him. They didn't know how it was going to come to pass. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew the Lord had given them a promise, so they started worshiping him. Can I tell you today, in the midst of your uncertainty, just worship him. Just worship him. Just trust him. Just love him. That's all you got to do today. Just put one foot in front of the other today. Great joy came over him, and their praise preceded their power. No praise, no power. No praise, no power, church. They went on into Jerusalem. The Bible says, until the day of Pentecost came, they were found continually. Everybody say continually. Until the day of Pentecost came. Now, bear in mind, the Lord gives them a promise. They start worshiping him for that promise. Now, the day of Pentecost had not come yet, and the Bible says, until the day of Pentecost came, they were found continually worshiping the Lord. You can worship your way out of anything. You can praise your way out of anything. You just got to do what the disciples did, and that's give God his praise and his worship today. Hallelujah. They were found in Jerusalem continually in the temple, worshiping and praising God. Church, you're not going to get empowered sitting around in your gloom all the time. You're not going to get empowered sitting around in your woe is me all the time. No, you're not going to get empowered enjoying negative Nancy's company all the time. Get away from those people that are dragging you down. Get around some folks that know how to build you up. Get around some folks that know how to worship and praise the Lord. Get around some folks that can lead you to the throne of grace and into the presence of the Almighty today. Hallelujah. They went into Jerusalem and they continually worshiped God in the temple. Come on, and when you do that, when you put God first, even in the midst of your uncertainty, even in the midst of your trials and your tribulations and your troubles, come on, even in the midst of all of these things, when you put God first, he's going to show up, church. He's going to show up. He's going to empower you. You're not going to get empowered sitting at home instead of going to church. Well, that ain't popular. I ain't trying to be popular. I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to help you get to heaven. Huh? Come on, you ain't going to get empowered. You ain't going to get empowered being absent from the presence of the Lord. You need to be in God's presence today. You need to be in God's presence today. The disciples, when Jesus had left them and they're facing all of this uncertainty, they're going through all of this stuff. Their master had just left them. And all of a sudden, what do? They start worshiping God. They continually find themselves daily in and out of that temple, just giving God praise and giving God glory. Church, when you're facing stuff, when you don't know what to do, just put one foot in front of the other and just do what you know to do, and that's give God the praise. Give God the glory. Give God your worship today. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through today. and he wants to empower the church for its mission. Listen to me today. When I'm weak, when I'm hurt, when I'm disappointed, it's in those moments he is made strong. When I'm going through so much stuff that I can't figure it out, I don't know what to do, life is throwing more on me than I can handle, it's in those moments he is made perfect. In our weakness, he is made strong. In our weakness, he is made strong. Church, I'm talking about the power of empowerment today. Come on. The apostle said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Man, you talk about a tough subject. We as people, we don't like to get hurt. But the apostle Paul said, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I take pleasure in suffering for Christ. Man, that's a hard saying today. That's a hard saying today. We got to get to a place in our walk with God where we take pleasure in all things. It's all for God's glory today. It's all for God's glory today. So when we're struggling, when we're hurt, when we're weak, when we're discouraged, it's then he is made strong. Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Come on. When I am weak, then am I strong. Church, no sin is beyond his power to cleanse today. There is nothing God can't deliver you from today. He's able to deliver you today. There's no setback beyond his power to put back today. Come on, there's no test beyond his power to turn it into a testimony today. There's no mess beyond his power to turn it into a message today. Whatever it is you're going through, God can turn evil for good. And he can turn it into a blessing today. David was a boy when he killed Goliath. Samson was a stranger when he killed the Philistines. Esther was an orphan when she hanged Haman on his own gallows. Rahab was a harlot when she was brought into the lineage of Jesus. Ruth was a widow and a gleaner when she was redeemed by Boaz. What are you saying today, preacher? What I'm saying is God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. That's what I'm saying today. What I'm saying today is where you're at right now is not where God wants you to be. Where you're at right now, God wants to take you to another level. Where you're at right now, God wants to multiply you. God wants to increase you. God wants to bless you today. But you got to be empowered with a power from on high today. Hallelujah. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary feats. Hallelujah. It's time for you to buckle down and get empowered so you can accomplish what God has called you to do in these last days. There's people in your life God wants you to reach. There's people in your life God wants you to speak into. It's all about whether you've been set free. It's all about whether you've been loosed. It's all about whether you've been washed. Come on, it's all about whether you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Church, I came to let hell know today. Yes, we once were weak. Yes, we once were rejected. Yes, we once were castaways. Yes, we once were living outside the boundaries of the blood. Come on, somebody. Anybody hearing what I'm saying today? Yes, we once were broken. Yes, we once were confused. But we ain't who we used to be. Come on, I might not be where I'm going, or I might not be where I want to be, but I sure enough ain't where I used to be. God has set me free. God has set me on a journey. God has empowered me for my mission, and I'm not going back where God has delivered me from. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going back to sin. I'm not going back to despondency. I'm not going back to confusion. I'm not going back to depression. I'm going to live in the abundance of God's grace and God's mercy today. Hallelujah. Come on, our eyes have been opened to the power of his empowerment today. Now, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're a blessed people today because you're free. You're free. Somebody say, I'm free. Say it like you mean it. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free today. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Come on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Why? Because I'm free. Come on, and when I'm weak, he is made strong. Now I'm the head and not the tail. Now I'm the lender and not the borrower. Yeah, because I'm free. I'm free. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King today. And I don't have to go back to what God brought me out of. Wherever the sole of your foot shall trod, church. We was just talking about this the other day. The Word of God says he's going to give it to you. Huh? He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Wherever the sole of your foot shall trod, he's going to give it to us today. Now no giant is big enough to stop us. All hell can assail us. Nothing can pluck us out of the Father's hand today. No pit can keep us from our palace. No pit can keep us from our promise today. We are the empowered people of God. I wonder, there might be times you get let down a wall in a basket like Saul did, but God will give you a way of escape. It might not be the way you wanted it to be, but God will give you a way of escape. There might be some folks sitting outside the door waiting to kill you, but God will give you a way of escape. I come to tell you today, don't boohoo about the ones sitting outside the door waiting to kill you. You thank God for the ones that are willing to lower you down the wall in the basket. We got to have our glass half full, and it must never be half empty, because we're the children of the King today. We are empowered for our mission. We're empowered for our mission. We've been endued with power from on high. Church, the Bible promised us we're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Church, there's no power but God's power today. There's no power but God's power today. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Come on. The Niagara Falls is one of the United States' most beautiful places. It's on my bucket list. People travel from all over the world to see it. People who visit there are so amazed. They look at the beauty. They look at the power of the falls. But I tell you, for those locals, it's more than just a sight to see. It's a power to live by. Those falls generate power that powers their homes. Huh? It's a power to live by. Can I tell you, that's the way it is in the church. We live by this power. We count on this power. We rely on this power. When we are weak, he is made strong. Come on, when we're in the valley, we trust in the Lord. We find the lily. When we are weak, Brother Jediah, then he is made strong. We trust in the power that he gives us today. My God. Let me tell you something. For the sightseers, the Niagara Falls is one thing. But for the locals, it's another. Come on, Church of God. For the locals, it's another. They count on the power. They count on the power. We count on the power today. The church needs to be empowered. We got to live by his power today. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want you to understand some things about empowerment today. In our text, we see Saul, who had once received his sight and been filled with the Holy Ghost. He spent time learning from the disciples in Damascus. And then he began his own ministry and he started preaching. We see immediately after Saul became Paul and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the enemy tried to kill him. No sooner than his ministry even got off the ground and got started, he got some folks right outside the door waiting to kill him, and they're lowering him down a wall in a basket. Now, if that don't tell you something about your walk with God, I don't know what will. When you give your life to Christ, you find yourself in Christ, all hell's going to sell you. The enemy is coming for you full force. But Paul was empowered. Paul trusted in the Lord. He had folks there that helped him. Come on, can I tell you today, we need the help of the church. We don't got time to be worried about the condition of the world today. We need to learn to appreciate what God has put in our lives today. God has given us the help of the church. God has given us spiritual leadership. We've been empowered today. We've been empowered today for our mission. Saul went to Jerusalem. He was excited to be joined there to the rest of the apostles, only to find out they would reject him. These folks are supposed to be the church. And here they are rejecting Paul because of his past. Sound like some folks you know? Yeah. It sounds like some folks I know. Come on. What's once under the blood is under the blood. Who are we to bring it out? We ain't strong enough. We ain't great enough to bring what's under the blood out from underneath of the blood today. And here Paul was. He's suffering all these attacks. He got people trying to kill him, waiting outside the door on him. They're lowering him down the wall in a basket. Here he is. He comes to Jerusalem, and here he's supposed to be amongst family and friends and people of God, and they reject him. Let me tell you something. All hell's going to sell you when you find yourself in Christ. All hell's going to sell you when you find yourself in Christ. As musicians come quickly. They rejected Paul. They were afraid of Paul. They did not believe Paul was a disciple. Saul experienced rejection. How many know that we got to understand today that rejection's a part of the process? Jesus said they hated me before they hated you. I couldn't tell you how many times I've felt rejection in my life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saul could have given up when the apostles rejected him. Saul could have given up when people laid outside waiting to kill him. But that's not what he did. And that's not what we can do today. We can't give